Hello and welcome to another episode of the Saxo Market Call podcast. As always, I am your host and my name is Søren Otto. And today I am joined by not one but two experts. And I have with me today Altea Spinozzi, head of fixed income here at Saxo, and also Ole Hansen, our head of commodity strategy. Hi, guys.
Hi, Søren.
So today we're going to have our weekly thematic episode. And what we're going to talk about is, obviously, since you're the expertise you guys come with, we're going to have a look at the fixed income space and the commodities area in relation to the events that unfolded over the weekend with the Iranian attack on Israel. And just give a general status. We're not going to focus much on the conflict. We're just going to give a general status on what's been developing since then and what we're paying attention to. And Ole, I would like to... I tried actually to be a gentleman and let Altea start, but she said it's better that Ole starts. So Ole, what's your... we talked together on Monday to give sort of a brief recap on what was going on after the weekend. What's your status now? Back then we talked gold and oil, but what are you looking at right now?
Well, the status is that since then we have just seen this market give back a little bit of the gains that we saw on Monday. And that's really because of, that's basically Altea's fault because her market is not playing ball right now. We are seeing yields, especially at the long end, rising quite rapidly. We're seeing a strong dollar. So that's just taking the sting out of the movements we've seen. But the weekend events in the geopolitical events we're seeing, not only in Russia, Ukraine, but also Israel now versus Iran, is just confirming the belief the market has been building up for several weeks now that this world is dysfunctional. There are risks out there that is definitely difficult to quantify. There are, and that basically drives demand for alternative investments. And we're seeing that in gold right now. And it's just phenomenal seeing gold continue to move higher, even though we have this, I would say, quite substantial rise in bond yields so far this year. The dollar is stronger by almost 5%. Rate cut expectation has gone from more than 6 to less than 2. Gold is still trading at a record high level. So it's just an extension of the weekend, as I said, the weekend events basically confirmed that this is a time where you should probably be a bit cautious.
Yeah, and just to point that, just to follow up on what you said, Ole, that it's Altea's area's fault. When we have our team talks about what's going on around in the world, trying to make sense of everything, it sounds like something like the interest rates and the worries around that is basically, in according to you, more important probably than the geopolitical space when we look at the financial area. But what's your take, Altea?
Actually, I'll take that ball and then hand it over to you, Altea. Sorry for taking it. Because I think it's very critical. Also, if you look at the gold mine, one thing is the geopolitical risk, but another thing is most certainly the fact that we have a world that's just become so heavily indebted. It started around the time of the corona. Government just threw money out the window just in order to incentivize activity and support growth and support jobs. And we're left with a massive overhang of debt. And that's this debt to GDP ratios, which is now exceeding 100% in many major economies. That is a worry for investors. What if something breaks one day? What if suddenly a couple of auctions doesn't meet gets the demand that is required? What situation are we then in? So the rising debt is most certainly is something that the traders, especially in the gold market, worries about. And obviously that leaves the question to you, Altea. Where should we position ourselves?
Well, Ola, I think that when we look at bond markets and we take into consideration these fiscal concerns, we have to keep in mind that the probability of the U.S. government to default on its own debt is not going to be imminent, is going to come down in a few years' time. And therefore, maybe related is the weakness that we see in the long part of the yield curve. But I think that what's happening this week in bond market, it's pretty clear. So bond markets are saying that inflation is more important than any other economic data. And the best example comes exactly from the UK gilts. So on Tuesday, we had a labor report out of the UK that showed that unemployment in March went from 3.9% in February to 4.2% in March. That's the largest uptick in monthly unemployment since the COVID pandemic. However, as soon as this data was released, bond yields didn't fall, they actually rose. And the reason for that is that in the same report, wages remained sticky at around 6% year on year. So I think that investors have really have to wrap their mind around the fact that the main driver of bond performance is inflation. And the reason it's pretty simple, because nominal yields are just the sum of expectations in real growth in a certain time of years plus inflation. So if I take today the 10-year US Treasury at 4.65%, is telling me that markets is expecting the US economy to grow a trend around 2% or a little bit above, and inflation rate, the break-even rate, to be around 2.5%. So this gives us a yield in the a nominal yield in 10-year US Treasuries of 4.7%. And if I believe that inflation remains sticky at around 3%, that takes us close to 5%. And this is the concept that bond market is fighting right now. I think that another thing that can be useful when looking at fair value in bonds is also to understand where yields can fall from here in case there is a crisis or a downturn. And to answer that question, I have to look at what is the long-term neutral rate that the Federal Reserve indicates. And in the latest FOMC meeting, that rate went up from 2.5% to 2.6%. If we consider the 10 years price around 100 basis points to 150 basis points over this rate, that takes us comfortably around 4%. So here you go, Ula. You get like a range of where yields can trade. And then on the top of that, you put your fiscal concerns and that yield can rise towards 5%.
And I think that's just also absolutely clear, highlights the reason why we have some like gold going up, even though bond yields are going up as well, because bond yields are going up in anticipation of inflation becoming more sticky and staying at a higher level. And again, tangible assets like commodities tend to do well in such an environment. So so we're seeing that, I'll say, across the, specifically across the metal space, investment metals, silver, gold. But also we're seeing now increasingly also in the industrial metals. So these really are two sectors have been doing quite well recently. And it's not because we're suddenly seeing the global economic outlook showing becoming much improved in terms of economic activity. It is, I think part of that is simply investment demand because of investors are looking for a hedge against the inflation. You're looking a bit lonely out there, Søren Otto. Have we completely left you up by the wayside?
No, not at all. Just trying to make sense of it all. And speaking of that, I think as a complete novice, when you say, Altea, that inflation is what is driving bond markets, then when I look at you, Ole, I think commodities, that is sort of the origin of a lot of inflation. And we've seen, obviously, should say gold, silver. We now also see copper, stuff like that on the movie. Also see
energy.
Energy, cocoa, natural gas, etc. I guess the question is, have we reached the top of these? And does that mean that inflation will start to fall over? And is it even a fair assumption that to say that a lot of the inflation comes from commodities?
Please tell me, Ola.
I wish I could. I mean, first of all, the foundation of everything we do is unless it's going to the cinema or going to a restaurant. Well, there's commodities involved as well, but whatever we buy is there's a commodity involved. So if prices of those go up, then they will impact. It will impact the price levels in the society. So yes, it's most certainly a hindrance for inflation to come down to levels that central banks have been looking for. And now we just saw yesterday that that Powell was basically moderating his tone a bit regarding the timing of the rate cuts, basically saying that they probably need more time. And this is after we had 3 months in a row where inflation has surprised to the upside. Does that mean that he's backward looking and say, well, the last 3 months were bad, so I better just take it easy? Or is he worried that this trend will continue in the coming months? That obviously will be very important to watch. So, but generally, I think it's yields are attractive, especially in the short end. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't want to hold something that gives you 5% over 12 months if you're worried about perhaps the strength in the stock market, having seen this big rally recently with all the geopolitical risks we have out there. And then again, pockets of the commodity space looking attractive at this point.
But I think, Soren, also when we talk about inflation and commodity markets and bond markets, we have to keep in mind that this is not a repeat of what we have seen in 2022 and 2023, because we are in a completely different kind of macroeconomic setting and situation. And also rates are far higher than where they were in 2022. So what does that mean? It means that if investors are concerned about a second wave of inflation and maybe the Federal Reserve not to cut rates, but actually to hike once or twice more, it makes sense to look at bond markets. It makes sense to look at the shorter part of the yield curve, where 2 years are offering around 5% in yield. And the reason it's simple, because if I buy today these securities and I hold them around 1 year, well, I need yields to rise above almost 12% in order to lose money on that position. Another powerful bond instruments are inflation linkers. Inflation linkers have been bad performers in 2022 and 2023 because they are composed by a double kind of elements. One that is interest rate sensitive and the other one that is inflation sensitive. So these securities have been losing value because interest rates have been hiked aggressively. If you buy them today, they will offer you a buffer against a second wave of inflation, given that is not as intense as the one that we have seen in 2022. And right now, the rate, the interest rate component, well, we know that central banks' bias, it's more for cuts than for hikes, and they should benefit also from that.
Tuesday I kind of stumbled on that. Tuesday I talked to Peter about equities and also how they reacted to this increasing geopolitical uncertainty, which I think is fair to coin it. One of the things that he said was that in equities, inflation and interest rates are still very important, also because of the fact that the unquantifiable nature of something like geopolitical uncertainty makes it very difficult to calculate. So you can't really put it into a formula and say, like, this is how much it's going to affect. Is that sort of the same? You see it in the fixed income and also in commodities. I imagine in commodities is a little bit different, maybe with some of them, but is that more or less the same picture you see in the markets there too?
Well, absolutely. And the best example is obviously the one that could be most exposed, that is crude oil prices. Because what we've seen recently is crude oil has been hovering it's been trending higher, but generally it's been range bound for quite a while. And basically the main source, I would say, of input to the daily price action is really how the ebb and flow of this geopolitical risk premium. Again, the market hasn't got a clue on how to price it. Because it right now where we have a very tense situation, the only premium that the market can justify is the premium coming from Russia, where Ukraine attacks on refineries has left them in a worse position when it comes to refining activity. That's driving up that's tightening the market, driving up prices for refined products. When it comes to crude oil, If in the worst case scenario, and the Strait of Hormuz gets impacted, and flows of oil cannot go through, then we have a critical issue. Then obviously, oil should not be at 90; it should be probably 100 plus, depending on the duration of such a disruption. But But yeah, long answer to a short question. There's no doubt that the risk premium is there. It's ebbing and flowing. I think the one that's probably most difficult to quantify right now is in gold, because simply gold has been used as an explanation why price have rallied. Besides the worries about the debt and so on, and the fresh and the very strong momentum we had, there is obviously a risk premium in there somewhere. How much it is, really, we can only find out if we suddenly don't have any risks around. And the fact that the risk of that receding is probably relatively small right now.
Yeah, and as you say, the sort of the way that gold has been reacting also before this geopolitical tensions in Greece have been somewhat different from what they usually do also in relation to yields, right?
Oh, completely. And that's why there's been a lot of head-scratching and why people are really trying to work out what the heck is going on, because it's not driven by the usual drivers. We've actually seen the Western world, where asset managers use ETFs, they've been net sellers since 2022 when rates start to go up. So the demand is coming from somewhere else, and it's coming from speculators who've been having a great time because the momentum has been this strong, but also a lot of retail and central bank buying out of Asia, which clearly is strong. Otherwise, the market would not continue to find buyers every time you have a small setback.
I think we can find also the same dynamics in bond markets. So if Ula is telling me that commodity prices might remain sticky or might even rise, that's obviously bad for bonds, and investors will not be wanting to hold fixed income securities at these rate levels, because they know that as time passes by, they are going to lose money in real terms. And that provides a squeeze also for corporate bond spreads, because it's fairly simple. If you are a company issuing debt and your cost of debt is increasing, you are going to try to issue less debt. But at the same time, as yields move higher, then corporate debt and also sovereign debt becomes more appealing. Therefore, demand is going to grow. And that's why in the past few months, we have seen corporate spreads tightening to the lowest that we have seen just post COVID pandemic and in lines to where they were before the COVID pandemic. And that can continue until something goes bust, until the junkiest of junk starts to go bust and credit spreads widen within that segment, and people are going to wake up to credit risk.
Right. So more or less the conclusion is that inflation and interest rates probably still play a bigger role in the markets than geopolitical uncertainty. Still, if we have any traders out there or investors that are uncertain about this time and insecure about how to do the portfolio, obviously we shouldn't be doing advice here, and we won't do that. But are there any areas in your fields of expertise that are more obvious to look towards than others in a time like this, no matter whether that's due to the geopolitical part, inflation or interest rates?
Well, probably the ones we have talked about already, and I know how it's a challenge for many that we are trying to buy something that is already at a record high. But at the same time, I think alternatively, that's also why we've seen silver had a very, very strong catch-up rally recently, because it's still not above its highs from 2021, which was around $30. So that's basically left. Given it as a good alternative to gold at this point, especially as I would say, when we see something like the copper market, which is just continuing to move higher, we're near 2-year high there. So silver is getting some input from there as well. So I'll stick to the metals for now, because the energy space is really quite dependent on this risk premium being maintained.
Yes, and on my side, well, front part of the yield curve up to 5 year, very good value there, especially the 2-year tenors, where I believe that there is almost no risk to lose money. But also look at the 10-year tenor, because that's the safe haven, the traditional safe haven, and the risk reward that it offers, it's quite good. Let's take as an example the 10-year U.S. Treasury, now trading at 4.65%. If yields rise by 100 basis points to 5.65% in 1 year, one would just take 2% loss. But if yields crash to 3.65% because there is something wrong with the economy, then one will make around 13%.
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you for coming and making us all a little bit smarter today. It was such a pleasure having you both here.
It's always good fun.
Yes.
And to all of you out there, on behalf of Altea Spinozzi, Ole S. Hansen, the Saxo Market Call podcast, everybody here at Saxo, my name is Søren Otto. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back anytime soon. But until then, happy trading.